And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are going to talk about a new story about Pope Francis. Pope Francis the Jesuit. We have to emphasize the fact that he is a Jesuit, because now we have another example of Jesuit sophistry. Pope Francis is now on record through hearsay, a friend of his who happens to be an atheist, has said that Pope Francis privately has revealed his belief that Jesus Christ is not really God. That is the story. In fact, I saw this story. The story was forwarded to me by one of our listeners, but it first showed up, or at least I saw it first, on the website churchmilitant.com, which is, as I've said before, a very conservative Catholic website. And they're very, very Catholic there, for those who have never heard me talk about them before. And they are very much against the Protestant Reformation. You need to know that if you go to their website. But a lot of what you'll see there are conservative issues that we would agree to. Generally, but they take a strong stand against a lot of the obvious heresies in the modern Catholic Church, like this one. And so on Church Militant, they had featured the story. In fact, they've done it several times. On Church Militant, they have a headline where they are quoting Eugenio Scalfari, who is an Italian journalist and editor of the news magazine L'Espresso, former member of parliament in the Italian Chamber of Deputies, and co-founder of the newspaper La Repubblica. Okay. In the past, in 2018, he wrote an article that had to deal with Pope Francis, stating that the Pope made claims to the effect that hell did not exist. Later, he backpedaled that story, and we're seeing kind of the same thing happen now. Scalfari has also said that in his private conversations with Pope Francis has communicated that Jesus was not really God. Now, remember, Scalfari is an atheist. He's an atheist, but he has met with and spoken to the Pope on a number of occasions. But now we have once again the back and forth. We have the arguments and the denials. This is just it's unfolding just like the issue of homosexuality, where Pope Francis had said, "Who am I to judge?" Then all of the liberals, the Jesuits and the homosexuals, they grabbed that and they ran with it, and they took it as a statement of approval toward homosexuality from the Pope. Meanwhile, the conservatives were given that plausible deniability that they wanted, so they can come out and say, well, no, the Pope did not actually say that he approves of homosexuality. That's not what he's saying. He's just saying we should not be judgmental, et cetera, et cetera. And then they give this whole plausible deniability argument. Then later on, Pope Francis did the same thing over atheism. He made comments about atheists to the effect that atheists go to heaven, or so it sounded like. And then you had people proclaiming that, yes, even atheists go to heaven, even if they don't believe the gospel, even if they don't believe in God. And then you had the conservatives turning it around and saying, well, wait a minute, the Pope didn't actually say that atheists go to heaven. That's not specifically what he said, et cetera, et cetera. And then they backpedal. This has happened on one issue after another, after another, after another. And it is, if you know the history of the Jesuit order, this is Jesuit sophistry. This is Jesuit casuistry. This is Jesuit manipulation of ideas. But what has happened since, for example, let's just take the issue of homosexuality. What has happened? That issue has advanced. It's advancing even now in our American political system. We have, for the first time in our history, an out and proud homosexual man who claims he's married to another man, and this guy's running for president. They just had a town hall meeting where they're bringing all the Democrat politicians and they're asking them if they will do away with tax exemption for churches if those churches do not agree to perform homosexual weddings. So they're increasing the attacks on conservatives and on Christians in the country. And of course, we have to remember, this is why it's so important to know your Bible, brethren, and to know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, and to realize, to recognize that what happened at Sodom and Gomorrah, as we read in the book of Jude, is set forth as a warning to all the nations of the earth. And this problem of the Sodomites, this goes back thousands of years. The Sodomites have tried to take control of societies and of God's temple in ancient Jerusalem, where we read in the days of King Josiah, they built up their houses along the walls of the temple there in Jerusalem. Think about why they were there. We're not given too many details in the scripture, but that's where they chose to build their houses. What are they doing now? They're infiltrating the churches even now. I've talked about before on this program how during the Dark Age, many of the priests, it was said, who ran the Inquisition were homosexuals. They were Sodomites. All right, now here is a quote. Here's a quote from Martin Luther. And you can find this on a website. There's a website called The Reformation Room. And they published an article called Martin Luther, Catholicism, and the Practice of Sodomy. And they're quoting Luther, where Luther is talking about this corruption among the Roman clergy. And he's talking about a certain bull that was published under Pope Leo. And he says at one point, he says, quote, "In the same bull, they decided that a cardinal should not keep as many boys in the future. However, Pope Leo commanded that this be deleted. Otherwise, it would have been spread throughout the whole world how openly and shamelessly the Pope and the cardinals in Rome practiced sodomy." He goes on further down. He says, quote, "This vice is so prevalent among them that recently a pope caused his own death by means of this sin and vice. In fact, he died on the spot." End quote. And then he goes on from there. And he just lambasts the popes and the cardinals. At one point, he called a certain pope a sodomite and a transvestite. Pope Paul III, I think it was, the same pope that commissioned the Jesuit order. And look at what's happening now. Look at what's happening where you have Rome joining with Islam. You have the homosexual, militant homosexuality with the Democratic Party and with the Vatican and the Jesuits, etc. They're all working together. How did King Henry VIII drive out the Inquisition from England? By passing the Buggery Act of 1533 that allowed him to confiscate land from those who were guilty of homosexuality and to throw them out of the country. That's what Henry did to drive out, because he knew many of these priests and monks and so on were sodomites. And so that's the weapon that he developed politically to drive them out. And then when Bloody Mary came in, she overturned the Buggery Act so that she could bring back the homosexual priests and then start burning Christians at the stake. It is not a coincidence, brethren, that the homosexuals are going after the Christian community. This goes back to ancient Sodom and Gomorrah when they charge down to Lot's house and they're banging on the door. Notice, they didn't just stay in their own homes and mind their own business. They don't do that. They want power and control. Power and control to enforce their vile lusts on other people. And that's why they're going down to the libraries. That's why they're trying to recruit children with drag queen story hour and all of this other crazy insanity. I mean, these people should be arrested and thrown in jail. And this is the one major failing, just so we understand, of the Trump administration. There are certain things that we have to be thankful for because Trump is in office, because he is stopping the flood of globalism and socialism in our country. He's not completely stopping it, but at least he is delaying it for a time. But he is still cooperating with the homosexual movement. Not as much as the Democrats, but still in cooperation with it. And the reality is the whole thing should be shut down because it's entirely unconstitutional. It's ungodly. It has no place in our country. I've said for years the homosexual movement in our country would not have the kind of political power that it does without the help of Rome and her Jesuit order. Because they are the ones, I believe, who have developed the arguments, the sophistry, the manipulative arguments about equality. And really, it's a false equality. But it's been very, very cleverly done. It's been put into the schools, the colleges, the universities, and now, sadly, into many churches. Now, here's a couple of stories on this. And then we're going to go back to this story on Pope Francis, and we're going to talk about why the Vatican is going down this path of denying the divinity of Christ. But here's a couple of stories that have come out here in 2019. New York Post, 80% of priests in the Vatican are gay, based on a book titled In the Closet of the Vatican. In the Closet of the Vatican. Quote, a total of about 80% of the most revered clerics in the Roman Catholic Church are homosexual despite the church's opposition to gay rights, according to the extensively researched book by French journalist Frédéric Martel. The New York Times reported on the Vatican's gay overlords. The Vatican's gay overlords. Look up that article. TheGuardian.com reported 4 in 5 Vatican priests are gay. 4 in 5 Vatican priests are gay. I mean, these are staggering numbers. I mean, you've got to be kidding me. 4 in 5 Vatican priests are gay. I remember years ago, Dr. Ian Paisley, in a sermon, said words to the effect that I think about 25% of the Catholic priesthood has AIDS. Here's another article from New York Mag, newyorkmag.com. Gay priests and the lives they no longer want to hide. Gay priests and the lives they no longer want to hide. You see, they want to move this forward in the Catholic priesthood. They want to normalize this. They want to fully and completely normalize this. And eventually, brothers and sisters, they want to normalize pedophilia. That's where they're headed with this whole thing. To normalize it and to legalize it. This is what they have in common with Islam. This is why all of this, the history of these movements, what the reformers believe were the two horns of the beast. And think about what the book of Revelation says about Mystery Babylon and the cup that she holds that are full of her abominations. How is homosexuality described in the scripture, by God's law? In Leviticus, if man lies with a man as he lies with a woman, God says it is abomination. It's an abomination. If a man dresses up like a woman, God says all they that do so are an abomination unto the Lord. Think about that. In conjunction with Revelation and the cup of Mystery Babylon full of abominations, now certainly we don't deny that there are other things that are called an abomination unto the Lord throughout the scripture. Idolatry in different places is called an abomination. And certainly we believe that's included. But we also believe it can be no coincidence that that word in particular is used to condemn homosexual practices. And here we find this happening in an overwhelming way inside the Vatican. Okay. We are going to go to our commercial break, and we're going to talk more about this story. I'm going to give you some of the details on this story with Pope Francis and exactly what he said about the divinity of Christ when we return right after this.
In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I also knew, living in Memphis on the New Madrid Fault, that there is the possibility of an earthquake. I also know that ice storms can cause the power to go out here, not to mention the threat of terrorism. There were many reasons. So I contacted the company Mountain House and asked if I could become a distributor of their product. I had some of their food when I was in high school on a couple camping trips, and it's really good. But now Worldview Weekend has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. We have one pack that's available. It's a bucket of food, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 14 days for one person. For more details, just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Noise of Thunder Radio.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Thanks for staying with the show today. We are back talking about this latest controversy with Pope Francis. Let's just get the story down here. This is as it is reported on the Church Militant website. Now, the reason I like to quote Church Militant on issues like this is because it is too easy to claim that people who talk about these things are anti-Catholic, or you're an anti-Catholic bigot and this kind of thing. If you go to Amazon.com and you look up our film, A Lamp in the Dark, there, and read the reviews, we have a lot of five-star reviews and so on, but then we'll get these one- and two-star reviews, and they're often from people who are accusing us of being anti-Catholic, that we're anti-Catholic bigots, etc., because we're reporting on the history of Rome and the Inquisition, etc. So that is why, on an issue like this, I like to go to Catholic sources. What are Catholic news organizations saying about these things? Well, the headline from Church Militant reads, "Scalfare, Pope thinks Jesus was not God." That's the initial headline, and then you go down and it says, quote, "Holy See, quick to issue clarification, but won't deny pontiff's claims." Won't deny the pontiff's claims. Then Church Militant, in their article, they say, quote, "A journalist who frequently interviews Pope Francis claims the pontiff does not believe in Jesus as God. In an interview published in the Italian journal La Repubblica Tuesday, Eugenio Scalfari said of the pontiff, quote, "Those who, as it has happened many times with me, have had the luck of meeting him and speaking to him with the greatest cultural intimacy, know that Pope Francis conceives Christ as Jesus of Nazareth, man, not God incarnate. Once incarnate, Jesus ceases to be a God and becomes a man until his death on the cross." End quote. Now that's the way it reads with Church Militant. Then the article says, quote, he went on to say, quote, "When I had the chance of discussing these words, Pope Francis told me, quote, they are proven proof that Jesus of Nazareth, once having become a man, was, though a man of exceptional virtues, not at all a God." End quote. Then it goes on to say, the Holy See Press Office has since released a statement clarifying that Scalfari's text is not an accurate representation of the pontiff's words. As has been affirmed on other occasions, the words that Dr. Eugenio Scalfari attributes between quotes to the Holy Father during his colloquies held with him cannot be considered as a faithful account of what was effectively said. Now that's a statement from the Holy See, okay? Where it says, as has been affirmed on other occasions, etc. All right, so that's a statement from the Holy See. That's not from Church Militant, just so we understand. And it goes on to say, this statement from the Holy See, that the words represent rather a personal and liberal loose interpretation of that which he heard, as appears entirely evident from what was written today concerning the divinity of Jesus Christ. Then Church Militant comments, and they say, quote, the statement fails to deny that Pope Francis disbelieves in the divinity of Jesus, a belief that would be heretical if he actually holds it. All right, then you can go over to Breitbart, Breitbart News. They've got an article that says, Vatican beefs up denial of Pope Francis heresy. And this article says, quote, the Vatican has issued a stronger statement to refute claims alleging that Pope Francis has said Jesus Christ is not God, as there have been complaints of an earlier tepid response. The question, and we could go over all of this, but the real question is, what is the Vatican, and in particular the Jesuits, who, remember, the Jesuits run the Vatican, and they did even before Pope Francis got there. What are the Jesuits trying to do? What are they up to with this now, this next phase of subversion in Western civilization? Well, let's go back in time. Let's go back to an article here about a Jesuit named Roger Haidt. And Haidt is spelled H-A-I-G-H-T, an American Jesuit. And this is from an article on a website called fsspx.news. And it's information and analysis on the life of the church. And the headline says, United States Jesuit theologian forbidden to teach. And it goes on to say, quote, after a 5-year inquiry, the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith has banned the American Jesuit Roger Haidt from teaching because of serious doctrinal errors. According to the American Catholic Agency, CNS, the condemnation by the Vatican is aimed at the book, Jesus, Symbol of God, which Father Haidt published in 1999. It deals with the divinity of Christ, the resurrection, the Trinity, and the salvation of non-Christians. If you go read the reviews on the book, I have not had an opportunity to read all the way through it, but I've read comments about the book. And basically, it is a very Jesuitical way of denying the exclusivity of Jesus Christ and the divinity of Christ. This is why those involved in the New Age and in occultism and so on, they are always trying to undermine the declaration of 1 Timothy 3:16, where we read, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." That is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so to try and justify the pagan religions where people are worshiping Buddha or Krishna or they're following Muhammad or whoever, they all want to try and make Jesus just like these other false messiahs, really, and sort of bring him down to their level. And that is why they deny his divinity. And they even resent the idea of his divinity. But if you go and read the review of this Jesuit's book on Jesus' symbol of God, essentially that's what he's doing. He's pushing New Age ideology. All right, now, just to show you that we're not the only ones who suspect that this is all, you know, that these kind of statements that have been made by the Pope over and over again are not accidental, that there is somehow or other an agenda at work, even though we may not completely understand it. Here's another Catholic website called 1 Peter 5, and they talk about this whole connection with Scalfari. Scalfari, who's an atheist and said to be a socialist as well. And yet the Pope has these multiple interviews with him, and he keeps coming out and giving these reports that are backpedaled afterwards. Here's what the writer says. He says, quote, "If you've also watched these developments for the past 6 years, it has no doubt become clear to you that the Pope is using Scalfari to propagate his most extreme ideas under a veneer of plausible deniability." Okay, that's what he says. So Catholics are realizing that this is what's going on, that these statements are not just being made. They're being made quite deliberately, but they're using just what he says. And I just stumbled on this as I'm recording this program, and I couldn't believe he used the phrase plausible deniability, but it's very, very Jesuitical what they're doing. It's kind of a Hegelian manipulation tactic. And where it's all headed, brethren, we will have to wait and see. But we are out of time. That is going to do it for us today. That is our show. We'll stop it there, but we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.